spiral on. In the spring or fall, the situation is different again. Then the evening sky faces neither toward nor away from the center of the galaxy. Instead, we look more or less perpendicular to the galactic disk. In the spring and fall, the evening sky appears relatively empty, again because we're looking mostly away from the star-rich disk of the galaxy. This time of year, the diamond-bright winter stars are seen edging toward the western horizon to set for another season. Meanwhile, the calmer spring sky rises a little higher each evening, as it does every year at this time. By about May, our evening sky will face entirely away from the disk of the Milky Way, with an unobscured view into the vast universe located beyond our galaxy's boundaries. For this 27th day of March, that's star date. And for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
No. The song is 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
I don't want to argue anymore.
Okay, well, don't argue.
Okay, I won't.
But it is. It's only 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
It's not my fault. Joel Block wasn't ready when he was supposed to be ready. Let's just drop the subject. We're on the air now.
We are.
Hi, Mike. How was your week?
Oh, just fun and dandy.
That's good to know.
And Eric, how was yours?
My week was okay, I'd have to say. And you are tuned to the voice of Long Island over WUSB Stony Brook.
With our theme song in the background.
No, it's not here yet because, well, everything's gotten sort of pushed back, and our theme song will be arriving soon. It'll get here in time.
When? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, we're going to have to ad-lib for another little while until our theme song gets ready. You see, this is the age of modern technology where sometimes things, when they go wrong, they really go wrong.
We sure bollocks this one up, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way things go. But in any event, this is, what, the 27th day of March, 1982?
Already, yes. It just started a minute ago. Well,
Spring is here. Spring started this week. It was in the 70s yesterday.
Was it?
According to Bill Sankovich, who was on the air in the afternoon, he said it was 70 degrees at one point.
I don't really necessarily believe that that's true.
Well, I was outside, and it was pretty darn close.
Really?
I want to tell you that much. Hmm. So that's a story on the weather.
Okay.
Right now, it's only 3 degrees. Is our theme ready?
Yeah.
Ooh, there it is.
So let's just listen to the theme for a while.
Okay, but 3 degrees translates to 37.
With the program, huh?
Yeah, 9 minutes after 12 o'clock.
We can't do the show without the theme, that's for sure.
The theme sort of gives us a push.
That's right.
In the right direction.
So, how was your week this week?
Well,
anything exciting?
Nothing really momentous happened.
I hear Barry Reagan's down in Washington, D.C. at this very time.
Yes, he's in Washington for the big demo tomorrow in Washington about El Salvador. It's not in El Salvador, of course. I wish I could be down there, I really do, but we will be getting reports from Barry and finding out all sorts of exclusive first-hand coverage.
Well, it's too bad because you're here.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I'm not too sure exactly what that's supposed to mean.
Well, I've gone to a lot of demos like that, and it's always it's kind of fun. It helps, though, when there's a bus leaving from Stony Brook. That's one of the major reasons I wasn't able to go this time, because there was no bus.
Right.
And it makes things kind of hard when you have to, you know, trek on into the city and catch another bus and pay a lot of money and all.
Yeah.
But you don't want to hear about that.
Or you could catch a train, or you could fly down.
Yeah, yeah, you could fly down.
You could do any a number of different things.
You were in an airplane this week, weren't you?
Yes, in fact, I was. I went up to Providence, Rhode Island.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Providence, Rhode Island. What's doing in Providence?
Not a whole bunch. Nice airport they have there.
Uh-huh.
The T.F. Green Airport. He was a senator and governor for the longest time, until he died. No, actually, he died about 5 years after he kind of resigned all of his governmental duties.
Uh-huh. And they named an airport after him.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's only one major airport in the state. You can miss Rhode Island in a matter of minutes.
Well, that's certainly true.
Yeah.
I must have been in Rhode Island a couple of times.
Really?
I just maybe stopped off in a gas station on the way to somewhere else.
Just
Rhode Island is
there.
The kind of place that you always go to on the way to somewhere else.
It was a fun trip, though. I went for my job, and we were supposed to be in a fairly large plane, but it turned out to be an 8-seat Piper.
An 8-seat Piper?
Yeah, and not really doing too much flying. I do occasionally, but it was rather unique in that we were sitting in the same compartment, as it were, as the pilot and co-pilot, who also doubled as our stewardess.
So you were able to actually watch everything that they did?
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard of such a situation before.
It's a scheduled airline, too.
How about that?
How about that?
So how was the city of Providence? I don't think I've ever actually seen the city of Providence.
I wasn't really in the city proper myself, but I was in suburbs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
You know, what gets me mad is that the folks in Rhode Island are trying to call Long Island a peninsula.
Are they?
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, I do remember some sort of a conflict about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rhode Island certainly isn't an island, that's for sure.
Well, we got into a big discussion about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did.
Where they come off calling themselves an island.
And right, right.
I think we explained it, but I forgot what it was, and it doesn't really matter anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't really. Not in the whole general scheme of things.
Did you see the whole Long Island area when you were flying?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I even saw Fisher's Island. I forgot to tell you.
You saw Fisher's Island?
Yes, I did.
So it is there.
It's there. It's there. I had to kind of strain because it was a little bit of a hazy day, but it was there. I saw it.
What did you see on Fisher's Island?
Couldn't tell because we weren't really flying directly over it. It was off in the distance. Off in the sunrise, as it were.
Between Fisher's Island and Albania, I don't know which intrigues me more. But
yeah.
There are two places I have to find out more about.
You do?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And right now it looks like Fisher's Island has a better chance.
Hmm, yeah.
Just because it's closer.
Yeah, yeah. It's they do both possess a certain amount of intrigue, mystery, that sort of thing.
Well, I'd like to take a boat over to Fisher's Island. I don't know what kind of a boat, just maybe a motorboat or something.
Mm.
Just sort of trek on over there and see what there is to see.
Well, you could also fly there.
Fly to Fisher's Island?
Yeah.
It'd probably cost a fortune.
Yeah. You could fly to New London and then fly down over to it.
I'd sort of like to go there without anybody knowing that I was going there.
Oh, so you want to swim over then, huh?
Well, no, not that so much, but if you take a boat and go quietly and just sort of sneak up to the
harbor. There's only one question. Where are you going to dock your boat?
Well, I imagine the whole island isn't watched. You can just go up to a little reefer or something, bury your boat in the sand, and then sort of explore the island.
Yeah, something like
modern
that.
Modern-day Robinson Crusoe type thing.
Hmm. Only he could get his job done by Friday.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should do that for a summer project.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, we've done a couple of things. We went to Shelter Island.
Shelter Island,
that was a project of sorts. We never did go on our bike ride, but I do want to do that this summer.
You do?
Yeah.
Still want to do that?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You seem to have lost some interest in that, but I guess people get lazier with age.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Well, it's still, you know, rather cold out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't think of it now.
Yeah.
When the temperature is in the 70s at night and all
imagine
that.
People traveling all the way across a country on a bicycle. I think that would be pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine just tried to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Yeah. And he made it about 150 miles Yeah, and then at the exact same time, it started raining uncontrollably, and he got sick.
Oh,
so
too bad.
Thus ended the bike riding crusade, but he made it that far.
Did he ever get to San Francisco?
Yeah, he did. He got a ride with a pickup truck.
Really?
Yeah, and a person driving it, of course.
Did he leave his heart in San Francisco?
He just might have left his heart in San Francisco. I don't know. But, wow! A song has come out of nowhere.
Wow. Amazing. It's like...
I don't suppose this song has something to do with San Francisco.
And I wouldn't expect it to be.
No.
It kind of sounds like the PTL Club.
We played them once.
No, it's not them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Are we going to keep talking over them, or are we going to let them do their thing?
Well, should we interpret what they're saying?
No. Let's let the people interpret these
things. People might not understand the dialect, you know. It is quite different.
That's true, it is. Let's give it a shot anyway.
Those strange accents. I think we're going to stick around and just hear one more, and we're going to call this one The Way We Were. Yow.
Misty watercolor memories of the way we were. Pictures of the smiles we left behind. Thank you.
I'll tell you, they got kind of carried away in those days, but hey, it's the music that counts, and the music was simply superb. What do you think, Mike? That's about all Mike usually thinks.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah, here I am. I have to throw some switches in here. It's been a while, you know?
Since
I've been in this other studio on a spur of the moment like this.
Well, 12:21 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Who did we hear from?
Oh, we heard those unnamed singers.
Yeah. I left my heart in San Francisco in the way we were by the Living Voices from a record called I Write the Songs. And who are the Living Voices? Well, let's see. Here's an album cover.
Get the liner notes out.
The liner notes. Okay. It's produced by Ethel Gabriel. Enough of that. Oh. It doesn't really say anything of meaning here. There's a comment from some guy from WRFM.
Oh, really?
Back in 1977, which is interesting. A guy named Jim Aylward. He says, my business is broadcasting beautiful music and presenting information that is, I hope, entertaining, inspiring, and helpful. I do it 5 times a week, 3 hours each morning. The ratings people tell me the program is communicating. I don't understand that sentence. Much of the credit for that success goes to the beautiful music combination of the Living Strings, voices, guitars, brass, and jazz. My listeners love these sounds, and I love them too.
Mm.
Oh, and I know our listeners love them because, well, a bunch of them called us up to say they love them.
That's right. We did get a couple of calls, even before we even started doing that.
That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is the kind of music that inspires people to do, you know, really... Well, this is the kind of music I would like people going down to Washington, D.C. tomorrow to sort of keep in mind and get inspired by it, because it does, in a way, have sort of a revolutionary flavor to it. You hear the overtones in that?
There's definitely tones in there.
You can change society. You can turn it around, make it work for you.
What happens if you played it backwards?
You probably get anarchy of a sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really work either.
Mm.
No, this is the kind of music you have to listen to straightforward.
The
message is very clear.
You know, I don't know if I want to do that, though. That's better. Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of things coming your way tonight on The Voice.
Speaking about, you know, repression and anarchy, if you can speak about them in the same breath. Speaking about repression and anarchy, didn't something unusual happen this week down in, what was it, in Georgia or someplace?
Well, I was just getting into a suburb of Atlanta.
Sounds like you have a newspaper clipping there.
What makes you say that? the suburb of Atlanta adopted a law requiring guns. Okay?
Requiring guns?
Yeah, now this little town down in Georgia called Kennesaw.
How do you spell that?
KENNESAW.
Ooh.
Strange name.
Mm-hmm.
And it says a new ordinance requiring every head of the household to own a gun and ammunition will not cause more injuries to law-abiding citizens, although would-be criminals better watch out, according to Mayor Darvin Purdy.
Hmm.
It's an interesting ordinance where they say that everybody has to own a gun. Now, they're not really enforcing it all that much.
Hmm.
But out of curiosity, we decided to contact a couple of people down there, someone who works in a cleaner's in Kennesaw, and somebody who works in a daycare center.
Huh.
And we just wanted to get their opinions on the ordinance, if they thought it was going to work, that kind of thing. And then what we did after that was we talked to somebody over in Morton Grove, Illinois.
Morton Grove, Illinois. Now, what's their distinction?
Morton Grove, Illinois is the town that passed an ordinance about a month or two ago saying that nobody is allowed to carry guns. The exact opposite of this. And many people feel that the ordinance that Kennesaw, whatever you pronounce that, that town in Georgia... the ordinance they passed was a direct response to that and didn't really mean anything other than a comment on the ordinance that Morton Grove passed.
Oh, I see.
So I guess this is all ready to go up here.
Yes, it is. Where else but on The Voice
of Long Island. And what we're going to hear is a cleaners, a daycare center, and then a policeman... over in another town called Morton Grove. The first two will be in Kennesaw, Georgia, and the last one, Morton Grove, Illinois. Take it away.
Kennesaw Cleaners.
Hi, I'm calling from a radio station up in New York. And I'm calling places at random in Kennesaw. Just wondering what your feelings were on that ordinance that you have down there.
Yes?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this the same person I just spoke to?
No.
Oh, hi. I'm calling from a radio station up in New York, and I'm just calling citizens of Kennesaw to find out their feelings on the gun ordinance you guys have.
Well, I thought it was terrific.
Yeah? Can you tell me why?
Because I think everybody has a right to have a gun, and they're only saying that you have the right to have it. We're not going to take it away from you.
Well, doesn't the ordinance require every head of the household to own a gun?
It says that it will not be enforced.
Uh-huh.
If you want to have one, you can. They're not going to take that right away from you.
Yeah, well, isn't that the case throughout the country?
No, because that city did take that right away from the town.
Except for that one place, though.
Well, one place could start a trend to doing that. Kennesaw saying, we are not going to do that, and I'm very proud of them.
Uh-huh. All right, so do you own a gun yourself?
Yes.
Is there much crime over in Kennesaw?
Huh?
Is there much crime down there?
No.
Do you think it's necessary for everyone to own one?
I don't know that it would be necessary, but I think it's good to have it. You never know when it might be.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a gun, you have a right to have one. And no one, I don't believe, has the right to tell you that you cannot have one.
How big a town is Kennesaw?
Not very big.
Approximately how many people?
I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000, probably.
I see. How is, I guess that's all people are talking about down there.
Well, no, not really.
Yeah. Has there been much talk against it, or is most of the talk for it?
Oh, no, most everyone's for it, yeah.
I see. I suppose you've been deluged with media.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, well, thanks for your comments.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Daycare.
Hi, is this the Kennesaw Daycare Center?
Uh-huh.
I'm calling from a radio station up in New York, and I'm just calling citizens of Kennesaw to find out how they feel about the ordinance. Can I have your feeling on it?
Huh?
This is regarding the gun ordinance.
Okay, just a second.
Sure.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm calling from a radio station up on New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'm calling just to find out some reactions from people down in Kennesaw about the gun ordinance.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
I think it's fine.
Yeah, as...
We just kind of make a joke of it.
Yeah, well, it's gotten quite a bit of attention throughout the country. Do you think there's anything unusual about it?
Anything unusual? I think Kennesaw just did get put on the map. And so we all got shirts and bumper stickers and everything, and we're just going along with it.
What do you see this ordinance as meaning?
As meaning?
Yeah.
I don't see that really. They're not going to try to enforce it. Like I told you, I don't think anybody really took it serious.
It's not really a serious law.
No, I don't think they're going to enforce it.
How would you feel if they did enforce it, though?
If they did enforce it,
yeah.
Then I probably wouldn't like it that well. But I think it's just kind of something to do and to get attention, and so everybody's just going along with it. Most people have a gun in their home anyway.
Yeah. Do you feel there's any sort of a problem with gun control in the country or in your town?
No. This is a very peaceful town. I don't really see why we need it.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think that would work in more violent places, such as a city?
Yeah, because I honestly believe that the innocent people do not usually have guns. It's the ones that's going to rob a store or something that have guns, and I feel like we all should have one.
Really?
To protect ourselves and our homes.
And do you think that would work in a large metropolitan area?
Don't you think it would scare someone away if they started to rob a house if they knew the person had a gun?
Well, it depends. What if the person couldn't get to the gun? And what if the person robbing the house got to the gun before the person did?
I don't know. But really, you know, we don't really take it that serious.
Uh-huh. How many people live in the town?
Oh, about, how many people we got in Tennessee now? Oh, no, I got about 200 children here. Do you know the population in Tennessee? About 5,000? It's a very growing, it's growing a lot, and I really just don't know what the population is now, but we've got, let's see, two little tiny shopping centers, no traffic lights, and police department, a post office, two drug stores, three grocery stores, a Kmart, that's about it.
What part of Georgia are you located in?
We're north of Atlanta, about 26 miles north of Atlanta, 26.3 miles.
I see. Well, you're in a daycare center. You must get some pretty interesting responses from the kids. Have they said anything about this?
No, they haven't really mentioned it.
No?
Sure haven't.
I see. Well, is there anyone else there who'd like to comment on anything?
Let me see. You want to comment on the gun control? No, father's sitting here to no, but he's got one.
Okay, well, thanks for your opinion, then.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And those were some folks over in Kennesaw. Now, Morton Grove.
Yeah, is this the Morton Grove Police Department?
It is.
Hi, I'm calling from a radio station out in New York. I was just wondering if I could get a quick comment from anyone over there on the ordinance down in Kennesaw.
You mean about the gun control?
Yeah.
If you have a question, I might be able to answer it.
Well, I was just wondering what the general feeling was over there, because that was obviously a counter to the ordinance you folks passed. I was just wondering how... I talked to a couple of people down there, and they seemed quite happy about it. I was just wondering what the feeling up in Morton Grove was.
So, mostly the citizens are against it. Among the department members, it's a mixed...
How is the ordinance that you passed holding up?
We've only got about 10 guns turned in so far.
So do you think it's going to work?
Work? How do you mean work?
Well, do you think you'll be able to get all the guns that...
I don't think we'll get a great number of guns. No.
And you think this law will stay in effect for very long?
It'll stay in effect, yeah. I don't see it being defeated in courts for a long time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I want to have a ranch like Ronnie's with mountains, trails, and trees. Out in California, to fly to when I'm free. From arguing with Russians and changing the economy. A California ranch like Ronnie's, that's where I want to be. I want to have a ranch like Ronnie's, away from Libyans. School lunches and students and senior citizens. A pretty wife like Nancy, who spend my money right. A place where we don't have to eat on the good china at night. A government and taxes and clever chimpanzees. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And my reels are played every day.
A bumper crop of poppies in Southeast Asia is threatening to flood the international black market with about 100 million tons this year. This deadly cargo, compounded by other bad drug use, is an international narcotics control law to call for the declaration of an international year against drug abuse. Here's John Nelson.
The report concludes that drug abuse in most parts of the world it's spread by the international community situation, according to the Narcotics Control Board, has deteriorated worldwide. Additional research accumulated by the board on the effects of cannabis reveals that pot smoke is more injurious to the lungs than tobacco. The UN report says that heavy marijuana can lead to psychotic reactions, lowered disease resistance, and negatively affect the human biological system. The Narcotics Control Board is quite concerned about the growing abuse of marijuana in Africa, as well as presenting the African continent's most acute drug problem. The report says it has spread among young people early in urban areas. Drug abuse has spread throughout the world in spite of international efforts to combat this alarming world trend. The Control Board recommends the United Nations declare an international year against drugs. For the week at the UN, this is John Nelson.
And that was made by the folks at the United Nations around January, the end of January of this year. And the program is The Voice of Long Island. And Eric, are you in?
Here you are. Of course I'm here. That was, I have to say, I don't usually give credit to the people at the UN for coming up with imaginative and interesting things, but this time I think they've really scored, and I'd like to send my hearty compliments to who's running things down there now? Kurt Waldheim?
He's no longer there. Somebody else.
Someone else.
Yeah.
Who's our person? Jean
Kirkpatrick.
Kirkpatrick.
Yeah.
I'll bet she has something to do with that. She looks like a punkish type person.
She
you know?
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hats off to
Jean Kirkpatrick. Yes. You know, my birthday was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And
during my show, I might add.
Yes, that's true. And in fact, you played something just for me.
I did.
And yesterday, somebody came up during my program and said, "Happy birthday, Mike." Well, she said she didn't have a chance to go to the store and buy my birthday presents on time. What she did, she got me some coloring books and some crayons, and she got me a record that says, "Happy Birthday, George."
Down by the seashore.
Oh, that's you, yeah. Well, in any event, she couldn't find a record that said Happy Birthday, Mike, so she got me a Happy Birthday, George.
Why George? I mean, is George the closest thing to Mike? Is there some significance there?
Well, apparently it was, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
I could see maybe Marvin or something, because that begins with the same letter as Mike.
Well, George is such a common name. I guess they must have had more of them. I don't know.
So the story is that this is a song dedicated to George.
Yeah, did we mention, actually, after that Morton Grove Police Department, we did hear from Lou Stevens?
Oh, yeah, we did hear from Lou Stevens, a brand new song.
Called A Ranch Like Ronnie's.
Yeah, that's a dynamite song. It certainly is.
I think it's his best to date so far.
But getting back to the song you're about to play, they re-recorded for every name, is that the story?
I guess so.
Happy Birthday, George, John, Ringo, Paul.
Eric. Really? Something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'd like to hear some more of those. Maybe we can play one a week or something.
Well, if you want to invest your 29 cents every week, I think I'm sure
29 cents for a record? Hey, how can you pass that up?
I don't know.
That's a steal.
I'm just speculating. I really don't know the true price.
Well, if it's anything close to that, it's well worth it.
Yes.
We'll preview these records as they come out.
That's true. Well, in any event, happy birthday, George, on the
Voice.
Long Island.
The tide's coming in. We better move out.
This is Space Command to Zoom. All systems are go for your message to George.
Hey, George. it's your birthday. I'm in charge of the stars, and I'm here to say, hey, George, you're the big star today. My name is Zoom, and I live on the moon, but I came down to Earth just to sing you this tune. 'Cause, George, it's your birthday today. A present for you I wanted to find, an outer space creature, a one of a kind. A wild womp, womp or a cuckoo-choo, a snaffle-drop or a buzzer snooze, or maybe a three-eyed tickle-shay for your birthday. Did you ask?
What's a cuckoo-choo?
Well, up on the moon, it's nothing new, but that won't do for you on your birthday. Behind the clouds and stars, I even zoomed my bike to Mars and met my friend, the saucer man, and he said, George, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, George. See you next year.
Radio. Jarustafari.
Yow.
Jarustafari. Jarustafari. Jarustafari.
Well, whatever. Me say the stick is the big deal, Liza. Me say the stick is the big deal, Liza.
Well, ram it, Kojak Ramin. Me say to ram it, Kojak Ramin.
more. Boy, you come along and they're hoping to catch a little booze. Policeman come around and you know he's gonna do it too bad. Every day, from morning till dark, ain't no place around that's white like Jacob Reese's bar. He lights fires without any spark. All the naked people down at Jacob Reese's bar. Jacob Reese's bar. Hey, white jellyfish staring right out of the water. Hey, they quit faster than Charles, even dry. On the bank and through the truth falls up to the stars. Falling and a browning and a chicken dinner takes off.
Wrong John, the song. Oh,
And all of the good stuff. Say you're tuned to a radio station, a real crucial radio station called WUSB in a real crucial town called
Stony Brook.
This lyric was originated in the year 1980. Special request to all the girls in our fishy. Who are you not yet home? Can you stop it? Happy, Mr. Fishy anniversary. Eh? Can it stop it? Happy, Mr. Fishy anniversary. Originated in the year 1980. So let me say, Mr. Postman Scam, a postman scam, a postman scam, dedicated to me plan. The hoodie and me pants, it now fire blank. The hoodie and me pants, it now fire blank. Now go sink it now your water tank. Yeah, me am going to think it now your water tank. Cause in days of old, me grandfather was bold, and juicy was not invented. He used to push his top between two rocks and went away feeling contented. But me name is Welton, and I want you to understand. Pussy is me life and my salvation. I know some of them smell like a rotten onion. Thinking of me run them jam husband. This a fishy anniversary. Tell you this a fishy anniversary. For watch a man. All coolie girl have white liver. All coolie girl have white liver. But no feel no way. Chinese pussy don't grass wear. I don't give a damn a grind. Ram, ram, ram. I hope them don't shoot me with the pussy. Blam, blam. Cause fishy anniversary.
Tell the sister fishy anniversary. For a chairman, me know everything about the fishy. Know everything about the fishy. Cause it's a 90 deep, 3 inch wide. The tongue in the middle, little ear on one side. Me know everything about the fishy. We know everything about the fishing. It's a carburetor, radiator, generator, distributor, alternator, regulator, two muffler, a windscreen wiper, and it even have a driver. Rod me say it even have a driver. Call me say, Mr. Irie and the driver. I can tell you Mr. Irie and the license. Then when me do, me use me cocky as the key. Lord, I saw me starty, I saw me starty. From the mistake on the clutch, me put it in a gear. Me go down from the gas and then me drive everywhere. Driver, dog in the road, blow the horn. Mana, mana, keep.
In a twisted, broken down one shack in a ghetto. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The going was rough, and the ditch of survival was getting steep in a ghetto. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's the swapping and stabbing, a looting and a shooting and a two-bed? A robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting and a two-bed. It was just robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting and a two-bed. Two-bed. No robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting and a two-bed. Johnny grew tough, and his task of survival was to plunder in a ghetto. Johnny never lost a fight, and he never, never stood to conquer. Johnny, you're too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. Just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too sad. Now you're walking down the road with a shotgun in your waist, Johnny, you're too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That he never got caught in a cop chase, Johnny, you're too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. Hey, little wild dog, I beg you, throw away your shotgun, Johnny, you're too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What you gonna do when you hear a little voice in the sky? Who you gonna run to? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad. You're just a robbing and stabbing, a looting and a shooting, and you're too bad.
Thank you.
Rastafari, you know.
Cluck, cluck, cluck.
Yeah, that's inner circle, you know.
Yeah, that's inner circle, you know.
In Dubois style.
Yeah.
28 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
On the Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley, and here we are doing all sorts of wild and crazy things.
Yeah.
We got some fabulous imported stuff from the campus close-up people that we'll be getting to, I guess, in the next half hour.
And, you know, somebody just brought in an Italian record.
An Italian record.
So we're going to get into that.
Italian sing-along.
Yeah.
Wow.
Circa 1954. It's a special Buttoni record promotion.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? Now, that's interesting because that person over there who's holding that record was looking for Italian street cafe music. Is this Italian street cafe music? It is Italian. Wow. Did you find that in our studios? No, oh, I
found it at home.
Dollar. You went all the way home to get an Italian street cafe.
See, well, she didn't mention that she lives in Little Italy, so.
Yeah, it's a long ride. Well,
we'll
be happy to play that later on.
Has absolutely no Italian music.
No Italian. Well, you could always listen to the Italian hit parade tomorrow morning.
At 7:30.
Nobody told you that.
They don't play street cafe music, then.
How do you know? because that's not hits.
Yeah, they play the hits. Which
what's the difference between Italian street cafe music and, say, French street cafe music, or is there any?
Well, I imagine one sings in Italian and one sings in French.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it is a difference. It's a major one, too, especially if you're French or Italian.
Yeah, I guess you're true. I'll try to get my act together now.
Yeah. Well, now, we'll all be singing along with that, I guess, since it says in big letters, Italian sing-along. I don't know those words.
Well, they're written backwards, so we won't have any problem reading them.
Okay, we usually do things like that around here.
We're going to change the pace around a little bit. By the way, it is 1:30 straight down.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We have tripods coming right after this important message.
I'm a sister named Miranda. The boys from Oaktown, they can't stand her. The more she denies them, the more they demand her. But she just wanna lay in bed all night reading Raymond Chandler. She got high heel shoes, she sings blues. She says abracadabra when she goes down on you. She got a sister and her name is Anita. Anita got one peculiar feature. Every time they turn to meet her, she turns out to be a jungle cheetah. She got spiky shoes, she hums the blues. She says crazy when she goes down on you. There's another one that makes it free up. Her name is Sally, they call her Flea. She's a Leo. She gets a flat in some home. She breaks the ceiling. Every time she draws her mouth, y'all. She ain't got no shoes. Never.
With the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most amazing families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard and Kathy last week, their friend from across the street, Victor, had just announced the same plans that Kathy had announced, that he was going to run for town council. And now, as we look in on the Tripod home, we hear...
Victor, you mean you're running for the town council too?
Boy! I heard everything.
Well, I was coming home from my round-the-world cruise, and I suddenly felt inspired to do something.
I'm tired of just passing time over at the drugstore.
Yes, yes, it's just like what happened to me. Howard, isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? Both of us coming home from a vacation on the same day and being inspired to do the exact same thing.
Well, there must be something in the air, that's all. Who knows, maybe the entire block has decided to run.
Well, the only thing that's in the air is a lot of foolish talk. Neither one of you is going to win, so let's stop talking about it.
Well, we don't know that, Pop. And besides, that's not really the point.
I think I could win, Howard.
Oh, I think you could too, Kathy. So could Victor, probably. But you have to understand that winning isn't everything.
What are you talking about, winning isn't everything? Of course it is. Winning is the backbone of America.
Yes, sir, I agree with your father, Howard. Well, I wouldn't want to give up my drugstore business if I lost, would I?
You're really going to give up your drugstore business, Victor?
I don't know if that's such a good idea, Victor. You've been working in that drugstore of yours for over 20 years now. It's your entire life. You can't just give it up like that.
Sure you can, Victor. I gave up my hardware store in Big Bear City, didn't I? And I seem to have survived.
Well, not everyone is as determined as you are, Pop.
Yeah, that's right. You can adjust to nearly anything.
Yeah.
But Victor may not be able to change his lifestyle the way you did.
I don't know about that, Kathy. I mean, I don't think I'll have any problem adjusting. But I'm starting to have second thoughts about running now.
Why? Because of me?
Well, yes. It's hard enough running a campaign without having to compete with your neighbor from across the street.
Yes, but why should you have to be the one not to run? We both came up with the idea at around the same time.
Why don't you pull straws or throw a dice or something like that?
You mean like in the lottery?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be the fairest way to solve this whole problem.
Well, if that's what you want to do, Kathy, it's okay by me.
And whoever loses can become the campaign manager for whoever wins.
That's a great idea, and then we'll have the force of two campaigns.
Well, I'd love to stick around for this, but it's time for Dallas. Excuse me.
All right, it is getting kind of late. We better get this over with.
Well, how do you want to do it? I think I got some money in my purse here. Let's see. Okay, here's a quarter.
Here's a quarter.
Okay, now what do you want, heads or tails?
I'll take heads. No tails. I'll take tails.
I wanted tails.
Okay, I'll take heads.
Okay, here we go.
I'm very confused.
Here we go.
Hope you know what you're doing.
Quiet, this is an important decision here. Tails, you won. Congratulations, Victor.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
Well, I guess I get to be your campaign manager.
Yeah, congratulations, Victor.
Gee.
We'll back you 100%.
Yeah. Well, this calls for some kind of celebration. Our across-the-street neighbor's running for town council.
Yeah, and I think he's got a good chance with you as a campaign manager, Kathy.
Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm famished. I think I'm going to go into the kitchen and make some sandwiches.
That's
would
a
you
great
like
idea. Yeah, why don't you make them for all of us? That'd
How about
be great.
You, Victor? Would you like some sandwiches?
Yeah, okay. I'll have
bologna
some...
and cheese.
Well, I don't know if we have any bologna, but I've got some liverwurst.
Oh, liverwurst. She makes really good liverwurst,
yes,
Victor.
Yes, well, if I do say so myself.
My wife used to make liverwurst.
Okay, that settles it. Liverwurst sandwiches for the three of us.
Okay, we'll be right here plotting the campaign strategy, I guess. Well, you have to admit one thing, Victor. Kathy sure took that like a good sport. That's one thing I've always been able to say about her. She's been able to lose with dignity.
And so Victor will be running for a town council instead of Kathy. What will become of it, and who will win? You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Howard say...
Well, if only she wasn't so clumsy.
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Have you seen the old man in the closed-down market kicking up the papers in his worn-out shoes? In his eyes there is no pride, hung loosely at his side. Yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So yes, I know we get lonely sometimes. For us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair, her clothes are all in rags. She's no time for talking, she keeps right on walking, carrying her home into carrier bags. So yes, I know we get lonely sometimes. For us the sun don't shine. But let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. In the all-night cafe, quarter past 11, same old man sitting all alone, looking at the world over the rim of the teacup. And each tea lasts an hour, and he wanders home alone. So yes, I know we get lonely sometimes. For us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man outside the scene of mission? Memory fading with metal ribbons that he wears. In our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So yes, I know we get lonely sometimes. For us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind.
Telling yesterday's news.
So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London, dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags? She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home into carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. All-night cafe at a 11:15. Same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. And each tea lasts an hour, and he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man outside the seaman's mission? Memory fading with the metal ribbons that he wears. And in our winter city, the rain cries a little kitty. Oh, one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine, don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
Oh, what a great song that is. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, that's Ralph McTell, Streets of London.
The original version.
You know, I say you heard one Streets of London, you've heard them all.
Well, we certainly proved that's not so.
That's true. I guess that's very true.
Let me just tell you a little bit about this Ralph McTell song. It's on a record called Ralph McTell's Unfinished Album.
Mm.
And on the front it says, some good news and bad news. First, the good news, Gus Dudgeon, who was producing Ralph McTell's first album for Paramount, arrived in New York with finished tapes. Now the bad news, he only had one cut from the album with him. But it's so great, and we're so excited about having Ralph on Paramount that we told Gus we can't wait. So here it is. And it's just one song in the entire album. Everything else is just blank.
I think we should play the other side.
Okay, let's try it. We're going to turn the record over. Just like that.
It's colorful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it comes. This is what an unfinished album sounds like.
What happens if you play it at 78?
Okay, let's try that. Wow. It's not going anywhere, you notice that?
Sure it is.
No. Whoops. This is interesting, you know. It's even banded. Wow.
Put it close to the middle there.
Close to the middle? How about over here?
Yeah.
I don't think that album's going... It doesn't have any grooves, that's the problem.
Well, it has grooves, it's just that they're all... They're not connected.
Well, yeah, not going anywhere.
It's normally, it should have...
Whoa! Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Never do that to a record. What's the version we heard before that?
Oh, we heard from Fred Holstein, from his album on Philo, Chicago and Other Ports.
That came out in 1977, I believe.
Did it? Probably, yeah. And Philo, of course, always encourages the artist to assume full creative control of his or her album, and this album is as conceived by the artist.
All right, and we started with the most recent version, 1981, from the Anti-Nowhere League.
Ooh.
And Streets of London. Hmm. This is a single, incidentally, that has been banned in England, so you know it's got to be good. Actually, it was banned because of the flip side, which is, it contains a couple of obscenities and things like that.
Some of those effing words, huh?
Yeah, you know, the things that some people get upset about, but that's life.
That's life. Say, you know, we got news coming up in a few minutes, but there's a... campus close-up coming first.
Yeah, we have an important campus close-up right before the news. These folks send us all sorts of material, and this one is called How Can I Keep From Singing? And I would suggest that a lot of people sit down and listen to this very seriously. We mean it.
The name Pete Seeger is known to millions of people in 40 countries. His music career has spanned 4 decades and 9 presidential administrations. Yet for all his musical achievements, his life and music have been surrounded by political controversy. Now, for the very first time, the story of Pete Seeger is told in a new book titled, How Can I Keep From Singing? The author is David King Dunaway, whose writings have appeared in the New York Times, The Village Voice, and dozens of magazines. He is currently teaching English and folklore at the University of New Mexico. David, thank you for coming by and welcome to our microphone.
Thank you very much.
Who is Pete Seeger?
Well, he's an individual who has probably done more than anyone else to help Americans appreciate the roots of their music. He sings American folk music, and his songs, If I Had a Hammer, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Guantanamera, Turn, 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 have slowly entered into the American repertoire.
He's done quite a bit, and he's quite an accomplished musician. And what is he doing today?
Well, today he's very interested in environmental concerns. He's working on the Hudson River and trying to arrange for full employment at the same time as we persuade those large industries to stop dumping chemicals into our water and into our air.
Who influences him the most? Would you say it was his parents? Because there is a musical background in the family.
Right. Both his parents were professors of music, and that obviously helps if you're going to become a musician. But he went out and learned from people like Woody Guthrie, Cisco Houston, Josh White, from many of the old-time guitar whammers and finger pickers, and traveled around the United States in his early 20s, going from one small town to the next, learning songs wherever he could.
David, your book brought out a very touchy subject, and this is the first time that it has ever been revealed that Pete Seeger, at one point in his life, was a member of the Communist Party, and yet you defend him and say that he's been a patriot at all times.
Pete Seeger survived the 1950s as a very controversial and blacklisted individual. He couldn't make his voice heard over the airwaves. The Communist Party in the 1930s and 1940s was as legal a party as the Republicans or Democrats. Ultimately, we have to look at the right of a democracy to air dissenting viewpoints. I think that we would agree that America is based on the notion that people with different viewpoints have a right to their own expression. It's the lesson that we need to explore the patriotism which comes from tolerance. Now, there's quite a bit of information that you obtained under a suit against the FBI, a Freedom of Information Act. Believe it or not, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has files on something like 20 million American citizens. It's rather a shame, in my viewpoint. But amazingly enough, they try and keep these files from the public. And as writers and scholars, we have to obtain the documents one by one through a suit. And that's what the Freedom of Information Act is good for. I received some 1,500 documents detailing the surveillance of the FBI on folk singers and what the FBI thought was so subversive about folk music. It's a little bit hard even today to imagine it. But somehow, the FBI was so threatened and felt that the national security was so threatened by music, and perhaps that's a tribute to music. Well, we've been speaking today to David King Dunaway. Thank you very much for joining us today and sharing some time with us, Dave.
Thank you.
This is Jay Gilmore for Campus Close-Up.
Guantanamera, Bahia, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Bahia, Guantanamera. Yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma. Yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma. Y antes de morir me quiero echa mis versos del alma. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Campus Close-Up for you there. How do I keep from singing? Well, they couldn't stop.
How could you keep from singing?
I don't ever start. And that's the best way, I think.
That's true.
How do you keep from singing?
I really never thought of it, to tell you the truth.
You do sing a lot, you know. Some people would say you sing more than you should.
Sometimes I even sing on my show.
In fact, sing might not even be the right word. Bellow is more like it.
I think it's more like torturing music is what I do.
It's more like torturing cats when you listen to it.
Well, actually, there's certain places where I think I do sing fairly well, especially where I don't have an audience.
If you don't have an audience, are you really singing?
Well,
mull that one over.
I guess it's the same as if a tree falls in a forest. You know.
Forest.
Forest.
Somebody's going to hear that if a tree falls in the forest. I don't care what you're saying.
Especially if it's a greenhouse.
We also have insurance agents and things, and they'll verify that it happened.
That's true.
Well, it's 1:59. We're late with the news, but why don't you just take it away?
Okay. Medicaid recipients don't seem to be ripping off the most money from Medicaid. The healthcare providers do. That's according to a report prepared by the House Committee on Aging. The report released Friday says Medicaid recipients don't steal the most money from the program. It says nursing homes, pharmacies, and medical practitioners are among the biggest perpetrators of medical fraud. Committee Chairman Claude Pepper said fraud accounts for 10-25% of the $25 billion spent on Medicaid each year. Medicaid provides health care to the poor. The report criticized the states for averaging fewer than 2 convictions a year in each state. But the report did commend New York, Massachusetts, and Georgia for policing Medicaid fraud the best. New York was cited for bringing itself up from the worst state in 1975 to the best in the nation in 1981 at detecting Medicaid fraud.
Well, the space shuttle astronauts were able to get in a full day of work on Friday, and they're now in bed, ready for a good night's rest. The day's radio communication problems apparently didn't get in the way of their work. Jack Lausma and Gordon Fullerton continued testing the shuttle arm that was made in Canada. Fullerton said it couldn't have been easier, or quicker, or nicer, or smoother. Elsewhere, a rebel radio station, Radio Venceremos, in El Salvador, warned Friday that leftist guerrillas have orders to shoot all vehicles.
All that is but Red Cross cars and the vehicles of international journalists. The warning urged those drivers to display a white flag. The warning was issued amid skirmishes between government troops and leftists as Sunday Salvadoran election draws near. The former U.S. ambassador to El Salvador says hunger, misery, and oppression triggered the Salvadoran Revolution, not Cuban communism. Robert White, who served during the Carter administration, also said the El Salvador Revolution is gaining strength, and in his words, "I don't think the government has a prayer for reversing that tide."
The new ambassador to Nicaragua presented his credentials to the Sandinista regime on Friday. Anthony Quaiton fills a post which has been empty for 7 months. In Nicaragua, the absence of an ambassador was seen as Washington's way of showing its disapproval of the Sandinistas. At the ceremony to welcome Quaiton, there was no discussion of Mexican efforts to arrange a meeting between the United States and Nicaragua. At the United Nations Security Council Friday, the Mexican ambassador claimed that the U.S. and Nicaragua had agreed to meet next month in Mexico City to discuss their differences. The State Department called the announcement premature. The NATO Secretary General says European leaders are overreacting to the pacifist movements in their countries. Joseph Luns says the groups may be vocal, but they're small. Susan Young from North Carolina has buried a note worth $10,000 in gold coins somewhere in the state. And she's written a book called Belinda's Book that gives all the clues to find the treasure. But Young, who took her idea from a British author who started an international treasure hunt, hopes no one finds the coins until she's sold enough books to make a profit.
That's good thinking.
I'll say.
Well, I'll get a book and I'll look for it. Where? What state was that in?
I believe she said somewhere like North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yep.
Oh, maybe going south a little while. Well, a federal judge has ruled that the Long Island Lighting Company's plants on the north shore of Long Island are not polluting the air of the state, Connecticut. State of Connecticut, on the other side of Long Island Sound. U.S. District Court Judge George Pratt yesterday decided to dismiss a suit brought last April by the State of Connecticut against LOCO, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the State Department of Environmental Conservation, and New York State. In the suit, Connecticut claimed that LOCO had failed to comply with New York State air quality laws and demanded that the court order LOCO to stop burning high sulfur fuel at its generating facilities on the north shore of Long Island near the edge of Long Island Sound.
Air quality laws specified that fuel with more than 1% sulfur content cannot be burned without special written permission from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency and the State Environmental Department. Connecticut claimed that LOCO's permission had expired. According to LOCO spokeswoman Jan Hickman, the utility had received permission in 1977 to burn fuel containing 2.8% sulfur at its Northport and Fort Jefferson generating plants. The LOCO spokeswoman said the utility applied for renewal, but that it took 16 months for a response. In his ruling, Judge Pratt said, "The court must recognize that 2.8% sulfur fuel had been approved for use by both the State Environmental Department and the Federal Environmental Agency." The judge said, "The Federal Environmental Department determined that variants would neither violate New York air quality standards or contribute significantly to pollution in the Northeast." The judge said that although LOCO was in technical violation of burning the fuel after the permission had expired, LOCO was not negligent in its effort to obtain a renewal. He said that the procedure was delayed because of bureaucratic foot-dragging. Ms. Hickman estimates that yesterday's decision will save LOCO's 800,000 customers $54 million because the high sulfur fuel is much cheaper than the low sulfur fuel.
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense, teacher.
Yeah. Okay, well, checking some sports action in basketball. Both local teams came up losers last night.
Chicago defeated the Knicks 131-107, and Washington, in the meantime, was trouncing the Nets 104-88. A couple other localish scores: Philadelphia 115 and Cleveland 111, and Boston 125, Detroit 104. Checking out hockey, the Rangers were victorious over Buffalo. They won by a score of 8-5. It's 5 minutes after 2 o'clock.
Do you have a weather there?
I do have a weather here, in fact. I can tell you right now that it's 2 degrees in the major metropolitan city of Stony Brook.
Celsius, of course.
That's Celsius.
Actually, I have a feeling that that thermometer is somewhat off, because even if it says 5 degrees Celsius on that thermometer, I'll go out to my car and there'll be frost on the windshield.
Oh, really?
Seriously. Crucial.
Hmm.
Au.
Well, maybe the part of the campus where the thermometer is varies.
From building heat.
Could be from building heat, could be from all kinds of heat. Well, all right, let's say it's 2 degrees where our thermometer is.
Okay.
In Stony Brook, and it's 36 Fahrenheit.
That sounds good to me.
It sounds reasonable. It fits right into the forecast. It'll be windy and cold throughout the weekend, partly cloudy tonight, low of 25 to 30. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high 35 to 40. Clear tomorrow night with a low in the mid-20s. And on Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high 40 to 45. And that's the news, sports, and weather up to the moment.
It's on WUSB, Stony Brook,
New York.
11794.
Enough with the zip codes. Our telephone number, incidentally, is area code 516-246-7901. So give us a call if you have any comments, complaints, criticisms, abuse, that kind of thing. Time now for our 2 o'clock album side, 7 minutes late, which isn't bad.
Yeah, that's not bad considering.
Something that you picked out this week, Mike.
That's right. It's a Radio Nederland album.
Something from the Radio Nederland people, yes, that's for sure.
It's, well, what they sent us was, a few years ago, they sent us a whole bunch of records that have to do with church music, organ music in churches in Holland. And we're going to listen to program 6, which takes up about 25 minutes or so.
They call it Romantic Church Organs in the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
featuring the 6 most characteristic organs preserved in the 19th century. Now, this one we'll be hearing takes place in the Church of St. Augustine, Amsterdam.
And who's the pianist?
The organist.
Organist.
Is Piet van der Steen.
And who is the announcer?
Well, let me tell you who the builder is first.
Oh.
That's Artistide Cavalli Gull, 1881. That's when it was built. I really did a job on that name.
You certainly did.
And we'll be hearing... The Intermezzo number 24 from the volume Intermezzi per Organo from Hendrik Andreasen, and also from Hendrik Andreasen, Offertory, based on the Gregorian hymn Assumpta es Maria.
I bet you the announcer will say that a little better than you do.
Probably. There is an announcer here, that's true.
Who is the announcer?
The announcer, let me see, I'm looking over here. Presentation, it says. You think that means announcer?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Neville Gray.
Well, let's get right into Neville Gray.
Okay, Neville.
On the Voice of Long Island.
Okay, take it away, Neville. Are you there? Hello, Neville. Earth to Neville.
Firm in 1831. He was full of praise for the way in which Betts had solved a number of technical problems and the solid construction of the organ. The Cavalier Kol organ in Amsterdam's Augustan Church dates from 1881. With its 20 stops, divided over 2 manuals and a free pedal board, it is one of the maker's smaller instruments. However, it has a luscious sound and has the orchestral character of the larger Cavalier Kol organs in France, a character that is so typical of the French symphonic organ. To end...
Sorry about that, Neville, but you started a little bit in the wrong place. We're going to put you back. You see, Neville was... He apparently was talking while we were talking and got way into it before... Well, let's just start over. Okay, this is the beginning. Somewhere.
Romantic church organs in the Netherlands. Today, in the Church of St. Augustine in Amsterdam, a recital by Piet van der Steen. van der Steen began his recital with Intermezzo No. 24 from the volume Intermezzi per Organo by Henrik Andriessen. Henrik Andriessen, born in 1892 in Haarlem, Holland, has produced a vast number of compositions. His oeuvre includes works for choir and organ to be used in Roman Catholic religious services, as well as orchestral and chamber music, songs, and an opera. The 24 Intermezzi for organ were written in 1939. They are improvisations from the days when Andriessen held the post of organist in Utrecht's Catholic Cathedral. At the time, he often concluded the religious service by improvising on the organ. It is for the most part thanks to him that this difficult way of music making has been reinstated in Dutch musical life. Much of Andriessen's music written during the Utrecht period is reminiscent of the organ works of César Franck, and it may have been Andriessen's way of continuing this romantic French style of playing and composing in Holland. It's understandable that Andriessen's organ compositions should sound at their best when played on a romantic instrument, and the organ here qualifies for this requirement. It was built by the great French master organ builder Aristide Cavalier-Coll. Now, Piet van der Steen plays another of Andriessen's compositions, an offertory based on the Gregorian hymn Assumpta Est Maria. That offertory by Henrik Andriessen was played by Piet van der Steen. Aristide Cavaillé-Coll, the great French organ builder, lived from 1811 to 1899. He had an outstanding reputation not only in France, but in Holland and Belgium as well. The instruments in churches and concert halls still in use testify to his artistic skill and craftsmanship. Cavaillé-Coll greatly admired and displayed a lively interest in the products of Dutch organ builders. When visiting the Utrecht Protestant Cathedral, he inspected the organ built by the Jonathan Betts firm in 1831. He was full of praise for the way in which Betts had solved a number of technical problems and the solid construction of the organ. The Cavaillé-Coll organ in Amsterdam's Augustan Church dates from 1881. and with Prelude, Fugue, Intermezzo, and Carillon by Leon Wellmann, we end this recital by Piet van der Steen at the organ of the St. Augustine Church in Amsterdam. Romantic Church Organs in the Netherlands is a presentation of the transcription service of the Dutch World Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland.
And this is the voice of Long Island, Radio Free Long Island, WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Crawley's out getting provisions right now. He's checking out the logistics of the situation. So I guess I don't have to mention what that last thing was, because your host Neville Gray did it so well. Neither does this next story need an introduction.
Boys, this may be my last show.
You're leaving the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation?
Soon they'll be saying the world's richest man once announced for us.
John O'Leary, how can you become one of the world's richest men?
With this little bottle.
It looks like water.
It isn't. My son has a chemistry set, and last weekend I got fooling around with it. I hit on a terrific formula.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at the first ounce of genuine reducing medicine.
Reducing?
Drink this, and you reduce immediately.
John, that's impossible. No medicine could make fat go away.
It'll work. I'll announce your show before my experiment is a success, while you can still afford to hire me. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents the Rod and Charles Show. A quarter hour of fun and information for boys and girls and eavesdropping parents everywhere. Starring Charles Winter and Rod Conybeare, who write the sketches and do all the voices themselves. Right after your sketch, I'll be my own guinea pig and take the medicine myself. In the meantime, let's have whatever exercise and ennui you two middle-aged kids have for today. Once upon a time, last Thursday, there was a pleasant house in a pleasant neighborhood where there was a goldfish bowl. Now, this bowl sat in a picture window and looked out on the garden. Nostril, the dog, and Mr. Finn, the goldfish, were friends and often talked to each other, but only when no humans were in the room, because they knew humans wouldn't believe any of this anyway. Well, one pleasant summer day, when the tiny part of the big picture window which opened was open.
At least you're safe in a tank. No dog catchers in a tank.
Sure, but you get to see the world.
Well, I guess both of us are lucky sometime.
It could be worse. We could be like Gilly down there in the bottom of the bowl.
Oh, what's wrong with him?
Well, he doesn't see anything. Just a little bit of light and shade.
Oh, he's not even looking at that now.
Hey, Gilly, come out of your shell.
I'm sick and tired.
Well, is he really sick?
He ate a piece of sawdust yesterday.
Well, that's what he's there for, to eat pieces of anything that gets in the water, so you can have nice, pure water.
Hey, come on out, Gilly. It's a nice day. Sun's shining.
Who cares?
Well, what can you do when someone's feeling like that? You better just leave him alone.
Hey, we should do something for Gilly. He's been unhappy a long time.
What can you do with a snail that doesn't like life?
It isn't that he doesn't like life.
Then what is it?
What is it? What's wrong, Gilly?
I haven't got any friends.
Oh, what do you think about that, Nostril? No friends.
Oh, tell him where are his friends.
We're your friends.
You two are smarter than me. You can see better. I'm just a lonely snail. We've got nothing in common.
I see what he means. He wants someone around as stupid as he is.
What could be as dopey as a snail?
Hey, I've got it.
What?
Another snail.
Another snail?
Not only that, but a girl snail.
Hey, a girlfriend, eh?
Yeah, sure.
Why didn't we think of that before?
That'll cheer him up.
Yeah, let's try to find a girl snail to visit him. Well, Finn, I found some little white snail's eggs under some old leaves. They should be hatching any day now, and I'll bet I can talk one of them into becoming Gilly's girlfriend.
Well, what'll they look like? Well, will they have to have baby carriages?
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, Gilly's out of his shell today, you notice?
Feeling better today, I guess, Gilly.
Like any creature that isn't taken care of by its parents, snails hatch ready to take care of themselves.
You mean the new snails will have shells and everything?
Not completely formed, but close to it.
Why do you have shells, anyhow?
To protect us naturally.
Well, because he's a fellow snail.
Well, there are all kinds of fellow snails around, hatched at the same time I did.
Well, Gilly lives in water. He's an old snail. He could teach you a lot.
Well,
come on, it's not very far to the house.
Point me in the right direction. We snails can only tell the difference between day and night. We can't really see from these eyes of ours on the end of these antennae.
Okay.
Be careful. You tip me over.
There you are. Just keep walking in this direction.
I think Nostril's got her pointing in this direction. Hard to see in the dark, even with the patio light on.
It'll take her a long time. She can only travel at night.
Why?
A snail has to keep moist. It only dares put its head out when it's nighttime.
Aw, come on, Creeper. Can't you move a little faster?
No, I can't. I've only got this 1 foot attached to the bottom of my head, you know.
Hey, what are you doing? What's that gleaming in the moonlight along the way you've come?
I cover everything with mucus. Look. Just before I put my foot on it. That's so I can be sure I won't slip.
Well, and I'll say this much for you. You might be slow, but you're steady. You don't jog or fall over.
And that's because snails have very delicate balancing centers in their heads. You have to have that when you've only got 1 foot and a shell to carry.
The leaves have turned.
Oh, where is she now?
Halfway across the patio.
Oh, yeah, I can see her. Anytime now, Gilly, you'll finally meet your girlfriend. It's November.
The leaves are all down.
It's pretty cold out.
She's almost at the French doors.
Gilly, she's almost at the French doors.
That's swell. But how are you fellows going to get her up into the bowl?
Oh, I never thought of that.
Snails can't climb tables, you know.
Wait a minute. I've got it. There.
That's really smart, Nostril.
There's not many dogs who can make an elevator out of a mechanical set.
She's halfway across the floor now.
Yeah. Hi there, Creeper. Now, listen, if you just walk into this little elevator, I'll wind you up to the fishbowl and you can meet Gilly. Well, how soon is soon?
Here she comes, Gilly. Here she comes. A real pal for you. A girl snail to keep you company.
Someone of your own kind to talk to.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
I'll drop the elevator into the water so you and Gilly can shake hands or feet or whatever you snails do.
I've never been in water.
Oh, It's fun. It's fun. Come on now.
Oh, don't be panicky.
I'm drowning.
Well, wait a minute. You can't be drowning. I mean, Gilly lives in water.
I think she's turning green, or the snail equivalent of turning green.
Well, I better wind her back out.
Don't ever do that again. I'm almost dead.
But how can that be possible? I mean, you're just like Gilly. Well, wait a minute. Let me look at her. Let me see it. We take a close look. She isn't just like Gilly.
Huh?
No. Look, just underneath the top portion of her shell, above the head, back in there, Gilly's got gills.
That's right.
But she's got just a small hole.
What do you suppose that means?
I don't know. But let's look it up in the encyclopedia. The snails belong to a group called Gastropoda. Land snails have primitive lungs.
Oh, that's the difference.
Lungs to take in oxygen from the air. Marine snails...
Now, that's you, Gilly. Marine means water.
Marine snails have gills enabling them to take oxygen from the water.
Oh, no wonder Creeper almost drowned. Creeper needs air to breathe.
Well, it was a good try.
Well, sorry, boys, but you're not getting me back in the water again.
Well, thanks for coming anyhow, Creeper. Nice to talk to a fellow snail.
Well, same here. Boy, it's hot and dry in here. I can't stand it.
Well, that's because the furnace is on.
I've got to get outside. I find this oppressive.
Astral, you seen Creeper lately?
She is under those leaves out there. You'd think the shell was empty, sealed up completely.
Snails are weird when you think of it.
Yeah, I guess. But on the other hand, they're pretty clever.
How do you mean?
Well, who ever heard of a fish that could live on land or a dog that could live underwater?
Yeah, that's true.
The world is full of weird and wonderful things.
Beginning of the show, John O'Leary, our announcer, said he'd invented a reducing potion.
And that he was going to try it on himself at the end of the program.
Here goes, boys. We're going to make history.
John, before you drink it, please announce our closing.
Nonsense. I'll lose weight while I announce.
Oh, boy. I'm afraid to look.
A theme, please. The Rod and Charles Show is produced by John Cantillon in the Toronto studios of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Sound effects by Bill Robinson. Technical operation by Brian Wood. This program is made available to this station by the International Service of the CBC. Tune in next time for another quarter hour with Rod and Charles.
Oh, ooh, fire! Ah,
John, you suddenly flew up and hit the ceiling.
No, I know. I bumped my head.
Wait a minute. He did reduce. He reduced his weight without reducing his size. He can float like a balloon.
You mean he's lighter than air?
He must be.
Fellas, will you throw me a rope and pull me along the hall to the cafeteria? It's my lunch break.
A rope. Get a rope,
well,
Charles.
John, get to work and invent an antidote.
I'll do it after lunch. I'm hungry.
Say, John, while you're up there, maybe you change that burned-out bulb.
Sure. You know, it's nice up here. Makes me feel I've reached new heights.
Well, tune in next time and see if John comes down to earth again.
We don't exactly know when next time will be, but who knows? Maybe we'll have another exciting installment of the Rod and Charles Show. Not a presentation of the Voice of Long Island. You'll never know what's gonna happen next on this program. Such is life. Well, I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley is still out, providing us with provisions. And nobody really seems to know when he'll be back. But in any event, we do have this Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis album in. And we're going to get into something called Get Rhythm on the Voice of Long Island.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get going, get rhythm. When you get the blues, a little sunshine boy never gets low down. But he's got the dirtiest job in town. Bending low at the people's feet on the windy corner of the dirty street. Well, I ask him while he shines his shoes, how to keep from getting the blues. Grab his gracious little head, he pops a sunshine rag, and then he says, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, that jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worldly mind. Get the rhythm. When you get the blues, get it.
Well, get rhythm with Johnny Cash and NRBQ at the same time. Well, I'm Mike Uhas. Courtly hasn't shown up again. He must have been hijacked by his two female companions. Well, lucky bum. Well, in any event, we'll be back again next week. I guess we should get the theme out. Stick that in the machine here. Who's a sound professional? Yeah, it takes a couple of seconds for this theme to start. Oh, here it goes. But the voice of Long Island is, of course, the program. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley is on the road, apparently, still. Haven't heard from him. But we'll be back, God willing, same time next week, 12 o'clock midnight, till 3 a.m. Anthony White's coming up next. You're tuned to WUSB, Stony Brook. Eric might be back later.
At 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the local night.